It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and joined today by the coach as well. You'll understand why in just a moment. Bob Richardson is here with us today. He's the vice president of the Three Rivers Football Officials Association, and an ongoing conversation for years about needing more officials, more folks to officiate not just football, but really all sports, Bob.
Yes, absolutely.
And you were telling me something. I guess it's one of those things that makes sense, and until somebody tells you, you don't really realize. But there's actually an organization for every sport. So there's the Three Rivers Youth Football Association, Officials Association for football. Then you said that there's another one that is, say, umpires for baseball, volleyball, soccer, so on and so forth. There's a specific officials organization that I guess you become a member of when you become an official for that particular sport, right?
Correct. And then those different organizations are under agreement with CHASA to provide officials for high school athletics. We only provide, and those organizations are providing generally for the high school athletics. And then the little leagues and the local rec programs and the travel ball type things, those they some of our folks officiate those as well, but they have their own parameters that they get their officials through.
So CHASA, the Colorado High School Activities Association, they sanction the sports. So they come up with the rules, and then they contract with one of those officials organizations to provide officials for those events. And obviously maybe a little bit, the rules are the same, but maybe a little bit different criteria for providing officials to like playoff games.
Yeah. Most of our organizations, at least I'm involved in football, basketball, and baseball. And for football and baseball, we actually, all your officials have to take a test prior to the season, to prove proficiency before they can work any varsity games.
Is that like the eye chart?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks. I expected that more from Ron.
I go easy on you guys.
The tests we take in football and baseball, we offer two tests. One is for general membership and the new officials. And that is generally based on the National Federation of High School rule books. And it's a test provided by NFHS. And then we have another set of tests that we do for playoff eligibility, which is a little bit more in-depth. And you have to take one or the other. You can take both if you're a glutton for punishment. But to be a playoff official, you have to take those playoff tests. In basketball, it's one test, and then they do it more on evaluation criteria.
Is the pay different if you sign up to officiate a playoff game? Or is it the same no matter what kind of game it is?
No, it's the same.
Okay.
You know, there's a varsity pay, and then there's JV pay. The junior varsity freshman games pay less than the varsity games do. But as far as getting into the playoffs, there's mileage criteria and all that they have to pay. But other than that, the actual game fee remains the same.
You know, I joke about, you know, some of those comments that you're bound to hear eventually if you officiate. And I wonder, is it the internet and the fact that bad news travels at the speed of light? Generally speaking, obviously you continue to be an official after all these years, Bob, so it's got to be rewarding. And I want to think that the situations we see on the internet with, you know, parents and officials are few and far between.
Luckily for us in our area, yes. You know, every once in a while we have, for whatever reason, basketball seems to be the one where we have the most issues with some fans and we have to have a fan removed by the administration. But as far as the others go, you know, there's a comment here or there. And it usually, you know, football, you're far enough away, it doesn't really bother you that much.
Right. Yeah, but basketball's intimate.
A little more, you know, in the gym, and they can be sitting right on the floor. Baseball, they're a little closer. And then, you know, with the other sports, I mean, my son played lacrosse. Some of the stuff that the lacrosse officials heard was sort of unnecessary, to say the least. But, you know, the rewarding part of it is getting to be out there with the kids. And you know, we've got a bunch of great coaches around here. And it's a great group of people that we officiate with. I mean, the camaraderie is part of the fun.
You bet. And then you've got people like Bob Lay, who I think has been officiating for, what, 50-some years now?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a picture on Facebook the other day from when I was a sophomore in high school. And I graduated from Roaring Fork in 1988. And as a sophomore in 1986, Bob Lay is in a picture of one of our basketball.
I'll do you one better. What year was the big snowstorm? Was it 87? I think so.
Yeah.
The big January snowstorm. Yeah, yeah. We had a field trip to an exhibit at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Mm-hmm. And Bob Lay was the bus driver, and we got stuck coming back. We couldn't get back over Vail Pass, so we ended up spending the night in Frisco? Breckenridge? Mm. Somewhere that direction. Anyway, it just, I guess that's an example of how rewarding it can be working with kids. And, you know, as an official, I guess, I know Ron was an official at a younger level, like the what I would call a peewee level, so elementary school and junior high. At that level, you're almost another coach, another teacher, explaining what the rules are, right? By the time the kids get into high school, generally speaking, they know what the rules are. And it seems like you still have to explain sometimes
the call was. There's still plenty of explaining that has to happen. You know, the biggest, I think one of the hurdles we always run into with high school sports is people take what they see on college and pro sports on TV and try to interpret what they're seeing out on a high school field. And they're the same basic. Football's basically the same. Basketball's basically the same. Baseball's basically the same. They're entirely different.
Yeah.
They're officiated entirely differently.
Yeah. And reminds me of that brush playoff game, the rifle brush playoff game in 98. When the quarterback, whose name I don't remember, he thought he could throw the ball away if he was outside the tight end box. And that is not a rule in high school, and they called a penalty for it for intentional grounding.
Well, now it is a rule.
Is it really? Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Anyway, the point being, the rules are not always the same, and they change.
Yeah. With the advent of instant replay, we're spoiled as American sports fans in general. Oh, that wasn't holding. That was pass interference or whatever the call. That couldn't be a foul. And a lot of times, boom! Right now, they can go to the cameras. And so, at college, the college level, the pro level, we're kind of spoiled as fans because we know, but. The high school level, it's a bang bang call. You've got to. Speaking of the eye test, you've got to make that call, and go with it. Sometimes there's a conference with maybe in baseball with you and another ump to talk about did the throw beat in the second or not. You know,
right.
Was his foot on the bag? There's certain things where you can reverse a call, but generally, the call is the call, and that's got to be tough on you guys.
Well, it is, and. You know, you also with high school, I mean, except for basketball, and I'm not quite certain what the numbers are for soccer and lacrosse and some of the other sports that I don't do, but for football, we use a 5-man crew. College uses 8. Pros use 7. So there's gaps. There's things that we don't see. Baseball, you know, we're generally 2 guys out there, which is the system they use in minor league baseball, but even in most colleges now they do 3 and 4-man systems, and pros obviously it's a 4, and then if it's a big game it's 6. And so yeah, there's definitely things that happen out there that, you know, you try to get the best angle you can to see what's happening, and then you're dealing with 15 and 16 and 17 year old kids that don't exactly do what one might think they might do, and you're not seeing what you thought you saw, or, you know, something totally different happens. So
sure. That's also another issue. You get some good players who might have a little bit of a head, you know, a little bit of a head case, and, you know, they're emulating someone they see on TV, and they're like, you know, getting in your grill, and it's like, okay, easy kid, I'm about to tee you up, or I'm about to, you know, toss you from the game. There's a fine line you have to toe as an ump or as an official. You don't want to pull a kid out of a game, but you also want to maintain control and make sure that cool heads prevail.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing any of us want to do, and I know there's a lot of people that feel otherwise, but the last thing we ever want to do is remove a kid from a game. The big thing with high school sports, they're supposed to be an extension of the classroom. Right. So we're supposed to be looked at as a teacher and administrator in the school, and the coaches are supposed to be looked at the same way. So there's kind of a bigger crackdown this year. It's called, we have preseason. They come out with points of emphasis on rules and things that they want to emphasize for the season. And this year, one of them is some of the swearing that happens on the field. You know, sometimes we'd let it go and we'd kind of say, hey, knock it off. And our parameter has always kind of been, if it was what we call loud and proud, then it's an ejection. I mean, there's things that can lead up to an ejection with some warnings, but then there's egregious and it just becomes an ejection. So,
yeah. You
know, the kid that strikes out and slams his bat in the ground and drops an F-bomb coming out of the box where everybody in the stands can hear it, that's an ejection. The second baseman kicks a ball and he's out looking out towards right field where there's no fans and nobody but his right fielder and a couple of daisies or dandelions, and he says it, then that's more of a talk to kind of thing. And so, you know, that, I think that's the biggest thing for folks to understand, is the last thing we ever want to do is eject a kid. And most of the time when it is, it's one of those where the kid, I mean, we don't eject anybody. We confirm their desire to leave the game is how we kind of look at it. Yeah. They had an action. There's a consequence to their action. And in that case, we're done for today.
If you'd like to learn more about becoming an official for high school sports in Colorado,
Chas, that sounds appealing. Yeah, right. Right,
exactly. The website is chasanow.com. So chasanow.com. If you're a parent of a high schooler, you already probably know that website pretty intimately if you've got a student athlete in your household. But again, chasanow.com. I want to say, it's pretty prevalent at the top of the website.
It's kind of an odd deal, but on the top right, there's an icon that has like two shirts on it.
That's right.
If you hover over that, it will say officials. And then that will take you to a query page for Chasa that you can fill out telling him what sport, or you can also pick the sport and go to each individual's association's website or email address that they have listed.
Gotcha. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and visit a little bit more with Bob about high school officials in just a moment. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, the coach and I are chatting with Bob Richardson from the Three Rivers Football Officials Association. And he's the vice president and also a baseball ref.
So, Bob, every year I'll get an email from like Chico or somebody in the association will say, can you get the word out? We need officials. Why is there a shortage year after year?
You know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons, I think, that we're compounding. There was kind of a drop in officials prior to COVID over behaviors of those involved, be it parents, spectators, coaches, the kids, whatever. At that point in time, we were also the population of officials was getting older. And then when COVID happened and sports went away, we lost a lot of those guys. They just didn't, they had that year off. And then the second year we were back with masks and things like that. And they weren't really willing to come back and participate in that. And so they just never came back. And even now those that are back, especially in our area, we have a lot of older officials. I think one of the things that kind of bites us around here is young folks have got to work. you know, scheduling for high school sports. I mean, football is a 7 o'clock generally on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon type thing. Not too many games are played at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and not everybody can get off work to make that. It's kind of gone the way of like the volunteer firefighter where, you know, the pager went off and everybody was able to leave work and go do it. And years ago, people were able to say, hey, you know, I've got to go do a game this afternoon, and employers were okay with that. Well, you know, it's not as many of the mom and pops that are, you know, running the businesses anymore and allowing that to happen. Luckily, there's still a few. And so some guys are able to get off work and come down and get these games in and work at some of the oddball times. We've got several guys that are retired, so they have a little bit more flexibility in that time. A couple of us have our own businesses, so, you know, we take time away from our business to come and be able to do those games early in the day. And so, you know, that's one of the difficulties we've run into with trying to recruit some of the younger folks, is that generally to get in, you've got to start working your way up, and that's by working the JV and the freshman games. JV football games are generally at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. Yeah. Always kind of difficult to tell your employer that you need to leave at like 2:30 on a Monday afternoon, right, from Aspen, so that you can come down to Glenwood and get dressed and be ready to go for a 4 o'clock football game. Just because of that, that limits the pool of people that, you know, really have a opportunity to come and join us and be involved at a level that they really need to be involved in.
Sure. What is the process once you reach out to CHASA or the individual officials association? And actually, it occurs to me, you know, we're talking a lot about websites and that kind of thing. If you're involved with high school sports, if you see an official on the field, you could probably ask them, you know, what do I need to do if I'm interested in getting involved? And they can send you, you know, the right direction. After that initial step is taken, what happens after that? You mentioned there's a test. I assume there's a background check.
Well, there is. So the initial contact made by the person through that CHASA website, CHASA will send out an email to the area director of whichever sport and area the person lives in. And then that area director will contact the person. And, you know, I just try to kind of give them the rundown, like we've talked about. You know, there's travel involved. There's nights we have to be in Kremlin for a football game. There's, you know, Saturday afternoons in a snowstorm that we're going to be at Battle Mountain doing a football game. And, you know, there's different, letting them know kind of the expectation ahead of time, so they don't just think that if they live in Glenwood, that they're going to be doing just Glenwood, maybe Coleridge and Roaring Fork games. I mean, there's a little more travel involved. And then we let them know what the meeting expectations are, because each of the associations, CHASA likes everybody to have at least 5 meetings a year for some training and administrative purposes. So we've got to get those scheduled in, and then the testing requirements, and there is a background check. And then for each, all of our sports are generally scheduled through a program called Arbiter. And once you get in with CHASA, they send you this invitation to Arbiter. And then each separate sport, you actually pay for access to Arbiter. And the Arbiter is great because it allows us to get, we get paid on Arbiter. We get scheduled on Arbiter. We can block out dates that we're not available on Arbiter. We see our schedule. Arbiter is kind of what runs our life. What we have found a couple times is, folks that are not necessarily handy with computers, it becomes a little bit of a problem because the testing is done on the computer, the pay, the scheduling, it's all done on the computer. So you got to have at least a basic understanding and knowledge of using the internet to do that. But then, yeah, once we get the folks in the door, it's just a matter of trying to, you know, maintain contact with them and getting them to some meetings and trying to get them into some sort of a mentor program. You know, the hard part we have now is we have so few officials, we don't have a great opportunity to set up a mentor program. When I started football officiating about 13 years ago, we had 52 guys in our room on meeting nights. And our general agreement was we put out 7 crews on a Friday night of 5 guys, so 35 guys. So that left 17 people that could either, you know, they were going to be gone for the weekend, or they were hunting, or they just wanted a night off, or the new guys. When I was a new guy, I didn't get games. I was expected to kind of go watch and shadow a game and all that. Well, those 17 extras, I have that plus three now. We have 21 officials signed up for football for this next fall.
Ouch.
So wow. What folks start seeing there is, you know, now all of a sudden we're playing more games on Thursday nights.
Yep.
Because the number of games has, it increases when you have, you know, you add schools or, you know, Roaring Fork and Battle Mountain didn't have varsity programs this last year. Now they've got a varsity program again. So that adds, you know, 10 more games for us generally at home that we have to cover.
Is it a possibility for you to call a game with fewer officials or that, what did you say, 5 for football? Is that the absolute minimum?
Well, we've done 4. Chassa really doesn't like us to do that, and we don't like to do that. You know, you take enough with 5 with things that people think you miss. Then with 4, there's, you know, one less set of eyes on the field, and it just makes it that much more difficult to cover. So we really, you know, we work with neighboring associations. So, you know, if we're one guy short, we can put out a little email real quick to the guys in Steamboat or Grand Junction to see if they have an extra guy on the bench that night that they can send. Or, you know, sometimes it's a travel issue and their guy can make it to Rifle and our Rifle guy can make it to Battle Mountain, and we do some swapping around to try to get it all covered. But the goal is to have 5 on each game for football, and then minimum of 2 for baseball and 3 for varsity basketball.
We'll take a quick break and come back and wrap things up in just a moment. Again, if you're interested in becoming an official for any high school sport, I imagine the need may vary a little bit from sport to sport, but just generally speaking, there's a huge need, always an ongoing need for officials. Again, chassanow.com, chassanow.com. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, the coach and I are chatting with Bob Richardson. He's the vice president of the Three Rivers Football Officials Association, the folks that provide officials for football games. You mentioned this, all the way Battle Mountain, all the way through the, you know, Roaring Fork and Colorado River Valleys, all the way to Parachute beyond that.
For us, for football, we cover Rifle up to Aspen and then up to Summit County. We do Summit High School. And then we also cover West Grand High School up in Kremling and Lake County High School in Leadville.
Wow. And again, you're doing this with, you said currently you have 21 officials ready to go for the fall.
21 officials. So we've already gotten schedules and looked at them and moved games around so that we have, right now we're able to provide 3 crews per Friday night. And then we've gotten some help from neighboring associations that can help us out. So we haven't had to move quite as many games as we thought we would, but yeah,
Well, I don't know about parents. From our standpoint, we love Thursday night games because that allows us to cover more than one team in a week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That allows us to do a Thursday night and a Friday night game. And, you know, we wanted to finish the conversation today because, again, we're trying to recruit new officials, right? How rewarding it is to be involved in the game. You know, I know, again, when Ron was refereeing, you know, the younger kids in basketball, you really enjoyed it. It was exercise. Yeah. You enjoyed working with kids. And it's a chance for you to be involved in sports when, you know, at a certain point,
playing isn't an option.
Yes, exactly. <That's what> exactly. It's and so it's a way to still kind of be involved, keep your mind sharp because there's a lot to think about, right? While you're out there on the field, whatever that field may be.
Yeah, and we get to connect with kids, and I enjoy that aspect of it.
Kids does keep you young.
I had a senior that graduated from Rifle last night. I worked a Rifle Delta baseball game last night, and one of the kids that graduated last year, Connor Abbott, you know, made a point to come up and find me after the game to say hi. You know, he started as a sophomore, And for whatever reason, there are certain those kids that you just kind of make a little more of a connection with. And so that was kind of a special moment. And then this year, the other one that kind of stuck out for me was the night of my birthday. I did a game at Roaring Fork High School, and the guys got wind of it from Krista that it was my birthday. So when we came out for halftime, I got serenaded by the student section. But most of those kids were baseball kids, and So I've umpired a lot of their baseball games and been around those guys a bunch. So, you know, it's good to make those connections with kids, seeing maybe you made a connection with somebody. And you know, 13 years now, this time around for me for baseball. So the kids that are seniors now were kindergartners when I started doing this. So I've done big brothers and that kind of thing. And people that I went to high school with or whatever, we're doing kids and grandkids now. And so, you know, there's always a connection, but it's just great to be out on the field. You know, last night was a beautiful night, nice spring night out in Rifle. We had the lights on. It was just a great night to be out there and spend some time with the kids. And then, like I said earlier, we've got a bunch of great coaches around here as well. So they're good to spend time with, and they're appreciative of our efforts, and just like we're appreciative of theirs. And we've each got a different role, but it's, you know, the bottom line is it's about the kids.
Well, I appreciate what you said earlier too about the fact that in Colorado, high school sports are intended to be an extension of the classroom. You know, we hear so much about team sports and how valuable it is to learn how to work toward a common goal with other people. And I just appreciate that, because a lot of times you think about, you know, the U8 and the younger kids and how much of a learning process it is for them. You think by the time you're in high school, well, the kids know how to play the game, and yet they're still learning about life, and they're learning other valuable skills too. And that comes from the officials as well as the coaches and the parents and the other adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've played, I've coached, I've worn the stripes, I've worn the chest protector and the mask at various levels. So I appreciate what you guys do, and gals. I mean, there's more women coming into the ranks, which is great. And again, to emphasize the positive aspect, you know, you got to put up with loudmouth parents occasionally or a hot-headed coach, but generally everyone's they're into the competition, but they're good sports, and they know that at the end of the day, it's just another game. Let's take it easy.
Well, the funny thing is, most of the time, it's more important to the parents than it is the kids.
Yeah.
You know, after the game, win or lose, our deal was always, you know, let's go to Pizza Hut or go get ice cream. We didn't, you know, win or lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm sure they've got their thing as well, but it's the parents tend to dwell a little bit more on the wins and losses than a lot of the kids do. So,
and on broadcasting games, I've developed a nice friendship with you and other folks in the umpiring and officiating ranks. So it was always a handshake before we start go on the air, and my hat's off to you guys.
Well, thanks.
The point of this is to encourage folks, young folks to come up and say, you know what, being official or an umpire would be cool. And it's a great place to start at the youth level, you know, maybe not T-ball, but coach pitch. And then maybe eventually Little League. It's exciting. It's rewarding. And
well, and you know, anymore, it's a great way for youngsters to make a little bit of money when, you know, it's not necessarily a set schedule, but you know, we know we have these big lacrosse tournaments and soccer tournaments that come to town, and they're always looking for officials. And if you get in with that group and go spend the day officiating a lacrosse match or a lacrosse tournament, I mean, you can make some money. I mean, it's not chump change when you start spending, you know, a 10-hour day out there. It's a long day, but, you know, it's a 3-day weekend when they come up with the big lacrosse tournament in Basalt, and, you know, they have a whole bunch of officials that make that happen. And, and so, yeah, there's definitely a way for college kids or whatever to spend a little time doing that stuff, going through college and making a little extra money on the side on a fairly flexible schedule. That's the big thing I think for everybody to realize too, is, you know, not everybody has to be available for every night for every game. You know, if we have somebody that's only available on Tuesdays for basketball, you know, that may be one Tuesday I don't have to work, which is helpful. Because there is, you know, the other growing thing with some of our folks that have stuck around is that we just do more games. And so there is nights when you'd like to have a little bit of a break.
Sure.
And so you get a new person in that can only work a Tuesday or Tuesday and Thursday, or maybe only a Saturday. It still helps.
I know we've lost the opportunity for extra games sometimes. We call Daniel Liefeld, and he's like, I can't help you. I've got to call a game in, you know, somewhere. Because he's helped out a few times over the years when we wanted to cover more games than we had people for. Speaking of which, again, if you would like to explore the opportunity to become an official, what are the base requirements, Bob? At least 18?
Got to be over 18, be able to pass a three-year background check through the state, since we're working with the kids. And then each individual association will fill you in on the rest.
Again, start with the CHASA website. It's chasanow.com. Again, in the upper right, you'll see the shirts, if you will, and it says officials, and you can learn more on that page. Just get in touch with them and go from there. And you never know. In 30, 40 years, we may be talking to you about, you know, recruiting new officials as, you know, Bob might be looking to retire around that time or something like that. Jack Smith, I swear, within 6 months of when he passed, was still calling games, was still out there on the baseball field.
He was pretty amazing.
Yep. Yeah. He was, I still see Betty every now and then. And, I think about her and, yeah, he was a great guy. Really was. And he used to always, when I wouldn't want to dress out for prison ball, which is what he called dodgeball, he would, you get an F for the day if you don't dress out, right? And he would call me and my friend the F troop because we're getting an F for the day. Well, I still got an A in the class because I dressed out often enough. Any final thoughts, Bob?
No, I think we've covered most of it. I mean, locally we do have trfoa.org. is our local football website. It hasn't been updated recently since we're through football season, but there is a link on there that will send us an email that get somebody to contact you if you're interested in joining. And you know, go out to any high school game over the weekend, and if you're interested in officiating, do go tap on the official after the game and let them know you're there for friendly reasons, and they'll give you some information on how you can join.
Any final thoughts, Coach?
I'll go easy on you tomorrow.
I appreciate that.
Again, so the Three Rivers Football Officials Association is trfoa.com. Again, that's for football. And for all sports, chasanow.com. All the best. Well, I look forward to hearing your name many more times in the future. Or that rare occasion when we are out of people and I have to, sadly, apologies in advance, call a game. All the best. See you around.
Take care, guys.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.